Omicron. It's the news according to me. Well, a fine Monday morning to all of you. It's a new day, a new variant coming to get you. It's November 29th, 9:35 a.m. on Monday morning, Eastern Standard Time, by the way. And all of a sudden, there's a new variant. Now, I'll get to that later. Just because there's always that. That's always all roads seem to lead to that. So I'll just start off with something else, and then I'll end up with that eventually. Because I know the first thing you want to know. Why the whole reason you downloaded this and shared it and liked it and told all your friends about it, this podcast, is because you wanted to let everybody know what was in my cup. Now, this morning, I have a Rapala cup. R-A-P-A-L-A. Rapala. Not to be confused with Ricola. It's not that. It's Rapala. They make fishing lures. There's a picture of a fish here getting hooked by one of their lures on this cup. It says Rapala. I got this cup for Christmas about 43 years ago. No, I don't know. It's been a while. It hasn't been 43 years. But it's been a while. Now, I can't remember the last time I went fishing. I used to fish all the time. In fact, there was a time in my life when I fished every day. And sometimes two or three times a day. I haven't fished for a long time. It's been probably, I think the last time I fished was actually when I was in Florida on a fishing boat. Well, yeah, there's a story coming here. But first I have to tell you what's in the cup. Not just about the cup, but I'm going to tell you what's in the cup. Now, I'm going to leave the suspense for what's in the cup. I'm going to tell you the story first. That way you'll listen to the story. You'll pay attention because you're hoping you're going to find out what's in my cup. Because I know the suspense is killing you. The story has to do with a little fishing trip that we went on. I was in Florida with my outlaws, the wife's side of the family. Her mother used to own a home down there. She was a snowbird. She would go down in the wintertime. Nice little place they had down there. It was kind of one of those little community type duplex arrangements where there was 10 different duplexes in this little huddle. Down there, there's a lot of this stuff down there. It was an over 55 community. You had to be over 55 to live there, and which means nobody has little kids, pretty much. And they had this little place down there, and we would go down in the wintertime because we just had to visit them when they were living up here. When they were up here during the summertime, we would rarely see them. But when they would go to Florida, in the middle of wintertime, we had an excuse to go down there. But we would usually go down for a week or two. And typically the family we kind of made it a Christmas event. We'd go down usually over the holidays or right before or right after Christmas time. Sometimes later in the year, sometimes earlier. But it was basically a kind of a family gather. It was a chance for the whole family to gather. My wife has family in various places around the country, so it was nice for us to all be able to gather there. Have our little family frolic. Go to the beach. Go to Siesta Key. And this one day, we decided to go fishing. Well, a few of us decided to go fishing. I can't remember the circumstances around it. I think my brother-in-law set it up. And it was my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, and then my sister-in-law, which would be my wife's brother's wife, her other brother's wife. was also there. I think it was just the three of us, if I remember correctly. There may have been someone else. I can't remember if there was anyone else in the family there. For some reason, I don't recall anyone else being out there. But because I think the characters that were involved in the most of the story I'm about to tell you involved basically just the three of us. Well, we get out there, and of course it's a choppy day, and of course it's so choppy that the fishing's no good because it's just too choppy, and the conditions just weren't good for fishing. However, they were good for, you know, if you've ever seen those guys with the jet skis, they like to go out and they like to jump the waves. Well, that would have been a good day for this. That day would have been great for that. The boat was tossing and turning and up and down and washing and wallowing back and forth. Now, of course, you can't, when you're moving and plowing through the waves, it wasn't too bad. People could stand that. However, when you are just sitting, bobbing around, which like you need to do when you're fishing, even when you're trawling, you can't really move too fast. You still wash around and wallow and wash around. And so you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Maybe some of you probably are feeling a little queasy even just thinking about it. Well, so we get out on this boat. Now, granted, I grew up on a lake. I grew up racing motorcycles, boating. I learned how to fly at a, I think by this point, yeah, I was already flying. But I was, you know, I like to go out flying and I like to do all kinds of things. I learned how to fly at a fairly young age and did aerobatics, did all that stuff. I never once can remember any time that I was ever had motion sickness. Never once. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I never have. Now, I know some people have like an ear thing going on and they get motion sickness just by looking at the water, at a picture, a still picture of water. They look at it and they start getting queasy. But I've never had that issue. And we're out there on this boat. And it's wallowing around and it's washing around. Nobody's catching any fish. And I wasn't even really interested in catching fish. I was just, nothing was happening. I think one guy caught one fish. And he didn't really care. I think he just cut the line. And then my brother-in-law caught a fish. And he didn't even want to take it off the hook. He was so sick. Everybody was hanging over the rail and feeding the fish. That's why the fish weren't biting on the lines, because there was plenty of other food in the water. Except for one person. Apparently the only person on the boat that was not sick was me. Talk about feeling like an oddball. I felt really bad for everybody, but I didn't know what to do for them. You guys are all sick. Sorry. I'm going to go down and get something to eat. So I went down into the galley. It's a pretty good sized boat. There was like a guy that was supposed to be manning the snack shop. So I go down there and I want to get a hot dog. They've got these little hot dogs down there. They were pretty good, actually. They were not a Coney Island type thing, but it was a nice sized hot, you know, all beef hot dog. And they looked pretty good sitting there. So I was like, hey, can I get a hot dog? The guy was sitting over in the side of the, over by the, I thought he was just kind of taking a nap, sort of. All he said to me was, he didn't even raise his head. He just had his head down kind of on his arm. I said, how much for the hot dog? He goes, he just waved his hand at me. He said, take whatever you want. I'm not moving. I'll never forget that to this day. I'll never forget the way the guy, he He did not want to be there. He just did not want to be there. I think I could have literally walked off with everything that day, and he wouldn't have cared. Now, granted, I don't know how much they were. I left a $5 bill on the counter there, and I just grabbed a hot dog and went back upstairs. Well, I get upstairs, and I started biting into my hot dog. And I was met at the top of the stairs with my sister-in-law. who looked at me with this kind of surprised look as I was coming upstairs, came out through the door there and doorway there thing in the little hatch area there, came out with a hot dog in my hand. And she kind of looked at me with these kind of this puzzled look. It was, I've never seen this kind of look on a person's face, actually. It was kind of this combination of being puzzled and being sick at the same time. So all I remember is that she said something to the effect of, "You're going to eat something," or something. Something to that effect. She made a remark about eating, and then about mid-sentence, she began to look over to the side of the boat. And as she continued on with her sentence, which wasn't a very long sentence, by the way, she started moving towards the rail. And the next thing I see was, you know, her hanging over the side of it. Apparently, someone eating a hot dog was not conducive to well-being on the high seas. So I was the only person walking around eating a hot dog. Everybody else was trying to fish for a meal. I just, you know, I found a meal I wouldn't have even had to probably have to pay for. So I didn't fish anymore. I just kind of walked around trying to stay away from all the people trying to keep from throwing up. And we were out there for a couple hours, and then even the captain was not feeling well. I literally was the only person on the boat that I think was feeling fine. They decided that they kind of took a vote. Everybody said, "We've had enough." It was the vote on the boat. They began to egress back to the shore. So we went back to the, now this area we had to go in and out of was kind of like a bay type thing. It was a strange cut through. They had to get to the bay. And, unfortunately it was fairly shallow actually in the area where we had to cut through. And because of that, there was rather large waves breaking through that area. So we had to go through that area as the waves were breaking. And that, of course, it just added to the, it's kind of like one last hurrah for the stomach, you know. Got into port, and I think I also had some ice cream then after that. On the way in, I think I went down and got some ice cream. But yeah, everybody was pretty much wiped out after that. So I was feeling fine. So then later that night, we went out to Philippi Creek for some seafood. It was good. It was good. Yeah. After a fine day of fishing, that's what you want to eat. You want to eat some seafood. So it was an interesting story. But getting back to the cup, I think that was the last time I went fishing. And it's been a few years ago. That's been several years ago. Many several years ago, I think. So got this cup for Christmas, but this cup I got way before that. And it was actually back when I actually used to fish once in a while, I think. But it came in a little box, and it came with a fishing lure. So I didn't have any success with the fishing lure, but I have had success with the cup. I use it a lot. Not every day, but I've used it every day so far this week, but it's just Monday, so see how that goes. That's my story with the cup. So what all is going on in the world? Let's just talk about that for a while. We've got some interesting news stories to talk about. At least interesting to me. So that's really all that, you know, you should be concerned with, whether or not it's interesting to me or not. I thought I had some headlines up here. I don't see where what happened to them here right now. So I'll just pull them up again. So we have this new variant. Fear not, folks. We have a new variant out there. Now here's an interesting report. I'm going to go through some of these headlines just off the top smash here because it just happens to be the first thing on the list of this particular stuff here. There's the stack of stuff here. Vaccinated at significantly higher risk of heart problems, according to the latest data. Surprise, surprise. Now, we don't know how long this will last. All of the studies in all other countries, and this is for the reasons some countries have actually banned the Moderna vaccine at certain ages. Banned it. Not just not approved it. They banned it from being used. This is interesting stuff. There's another headline here is the smash and grab robbery epidemic strikes across the country. Now, it mostly is on the West Coast, but there's a lot of other stores now where people are coming in. It's not, I wouldn't even call it a smash and grab. They're not even smashing. They're just walking in, filling up their bags and walking out. This has become a thing now. From the entitled class, the unprivileged ones can walk in and take whatever they want out of a store and walk out. And this is supposed to be reparations. More about that later. The Biden administration has given a pass to Colombian communist terrorist group and takes them off of the watch list. Interesting. Black Friday shopping was down this year. I don't know if I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Now, let's talk economy here for just a minute. I've talked about this perfect storm a couple times. We have a perfect storm. This is worse than anything we've seen. Now, the storm that brewed under the Carter administration. Those of you who weren't alive during that time have no business speaking about it. I've heard a lot of younger reporters and pundits talking about the Carter administration and the past issues. I've even heard some kids say, Carter was actually a pretty good president. Yeah, you didn't live through it, buddy. It's your young kids who had no idea. Even people who were just a little bit younger than me, just by a few years, probably do not remember the hardships that this country was in. Because most parents at that time kept things from their children in terms of the distress that was going on in the country. I had no idea, actually. If it was up to me listening to my parents, I would have had no idea that there were issues going on. Now, my parents happened to be, they kind of didn't pay attention to me, which wasn't a bad thing. They paid attention to me. They took care of me. Don't get me wrong. What I mean by that is my sister was, she's way older than me. If she's listening to this, she knows. She's really, really old. And she's about, I think, 8.5, almost 9 years older than I am. My brother is almost 8 years older than me. So by the time I came along, they kind of just let me do my thing. I was just kind of spoiled. It's my dad at one point after I was older, they said, we didn't really have to do much with you. You just kind of raised yourself. Now, I never got in big trouble. I actually didn't drink or smoke. I was really adamant about not drinking and smoking. My dad drank. Everybody around me drank. I don't know what happened with me. I just was very adamant about not drinking. And I wouldn't even run around with people who did. I mean, I know some of my friends were drinking, but I was, they didn't drink around me. Now, that being said, it wasn't, that didn't mean I was I was a good kid with regard to this, the way the world would look at me, or at least the religious world. Just because I didn't get caught doing anything wrong didn't mean I wasn't doing anything wrong. And I was actually a victim of my own self-righteousness. If there was anything that God saved me from, the big thing that God saved me from was my self-righteousness. That was, you know, I thought I was a good person. And by all normal standards, you would say, oh yeah, he was a good little boy. But there was plenty wrong with me. You can't take an honest look at who God is in terms of his holiness and have a real vision of that and not come away from it feeling undone, no matter how good you are. You realize the depth of your own depravity and selfishness very quickly. And if you, unlike the guy who looks in the mirror in the book of James, walks away and forgets what he looked like, if you can, you know, have enough self-awareness to walk away and remember what you look like in that moment, I digress. So the Carter administration was going through all this stuff where we, because of policies that were being put in place. Now we were just coming off of the Nixon and Ford administration, where during that time we had just been the dollar had just been unhinged from the silver standard. We were no longer on a metal standard. The dollar was unpinned. And we thought we were at a place where the dollar could be unpinned and we could have a better economic situation. Well, and initially, of course, you can do that. Initially, you can become a fiat currency in the first 10 to 15 years is fine. Now, they were able to switch the dollar because of the way the dollar was being used. It was being traded as the oil standard. Almost all the oil in the world was being traded under the dollar. And that's what gave, so basically we went from a metals standard to an energy standard. That is still the case. Now the problem is the energy standard now has shifted, and what they have to do is they have to go to the exhaust part of the energy. In other words, they have to get you not only on the consumption of the energy, but also the result of using that energy. In other words, carbon emissions, which have not been proven to be a significant factor in, quote, climate change or global warming. The same scientists, by the way, probably that talk about the coronavirus are the same scientists that talk about global warming. They say the science is in, the scientists have come to a consensus. Because that's the way science works, you know, you take a vote on it. And by the way, if you don't vote the right way, then you're outed as a scientist. And the problem with this whole science thing that we've got going on right now is that all these scientists that supposedly look at the data are not necessarily climate scientists. They could be physicists, geologists, they could be microbiologists, doesn't matter. Any kind of science trade. Could be a physicist, whatever. They're not necessarily meteorologists. But they all have a say because they're a scientist. They're the science. If you don't go along with it, you're no longer a scientist. So that's the way this stuff works. That's what we have here. So during this whole thing, of course, we had the energy crisis. Now, the reason we had the energy crisis was because OPEC had control of the oil. And we were told that oil was running out. Wasn't going to be any more gas anymore. aren't to find other ways of doing things. Now, who's, what does this sound like? Now, this was 50 years ago. We are still finding oil reserves larger. We thought at one point that Saudi Arabia had all the oil. Everyone kowtowed to them. They've lost a lot of power in the world. However, for some reason, this administration seems to think that it's important that we give it back to them again. So we've stopped production. Now, there's this theory that, well, we're just going to hold on to all the oil, buy it from them, use all their oil up, and then we'll be the kings at the end. We'll have the end game on the oil. I don't think that's what this administration or anybody around this administration has any plans on doing at all. They have so vilified the use of oil and oil byproducts, like plastics, rubber tires, all those things, that they will never get back to it. It's they want to shut it all down and just go to a solar wind farm something-based economy. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at the numbers or not. The factories that build solar panels, the energy that's used to build solar panels is not solar energy. They have to use other forms of energy to make solar panels. And of course, the amount of energy that it takes to make a solar panel, and this is why, the amount of energy it takes to make a solar panel, in the life of that solar panel, it will not make as much energy as it took to make that solar panel. That is the problem right now we have with solar panels. Nobody talks about that little dark little dirty secret. Same thing with a wind farm. A windmill, now you don't see windmills outside the windmill factory, forging the steel, making the fiberglass and all the materials that go into making the vanes, the turbines, so to speak, the blades, the big towers that they stand up on, all the electrical components. Take into consideration all the things that are done to make that windmill. All the copper wiring, the generators, all the electronics. All those things that are used in the process of making that windmill. Of course, they're making lots of them at a time, but still, that makes it more efficient, but still, at the same time, you're using more energy. All of the energy used to make that windmill and the life cycle of that windmill, which is not recyclable, by the way. What do they do with those blades once they become fatigued? They're beyond their stress point, and they have to replace them. They grind them up and make more windmills? More blades? No, they just... Initially, they were burying them out in the desert because they were there's no way to recycle them. I think now they have actually a... They're saying that they have a way to recycle them. I don't know if they do or not. So all of the energy that is created by that windmill and the life cycle of that windmill would not be enough energy to create that windmill. So when you're driving down through Ohio or out through Nebraska or out through the California foothills, and you're passing through a valley with all those windmills up there just spinning and spinning and spinning, or not. Maybe it's a calm day and they're not driving at all. I don't know what the percentage of days are that they actually run. I'm not sure if it's 70% that they actually won't even spin a certain amount of number of times. When you're driving down through there and you're driving for miles, there's a place in Ohio that I drive through on my way down to Dayton, I go down US 30. And you're going down US 30, there's this big, long stretch. I think it's almost like 430 miles or something. It's got to be at least 30 miles, right? Because it's at least 45 minutes, something like that. All you see on the east side of the road is just, it's all windmills everywhere. So all these windmills are out there spinning around, unless there's no wind and they're not sitting doing anything. And a lot of times, a lot of them are spinning and there's still several of them sitting there doing nothing because they're broke. All those windmills out there, if they were running and they were powering a plant that built windmills, it would take just about all those to build a windmill. So to keep that in mind, folks, this is the thing, you know, you think you're feeling really good about yourself because all that wind power out there is being utilized. Well, I got news for you. Not so much. We won't even talk about the losses of transmitting that energy. With all that, let's say you get 30 square miles of windmills. You've got to get all that energy to, if you get all that energy to a facility that can then transmit all that energy to power cables that end up in your home. Distance, now on AC, distance doesn't matter as much. However, it still matters. There's still a lot of issues with transmissibility of all that energy. There are losses involved in getting it to the substations, getting it dispersed to the communities. So there you go, folks. That's your happy, feel-good, fuzzy, warm, fuzzy thing about renewable energy. Maybe they could use all the wind power to create solar panels to put on the building where they're going to make windmills. And then they could use all that energy to make a windmill to power a plant to make solar power panels. I don't know. There's got to be a way to do it. Now, Hoover Dam, on the other hand, probably in today's standards, would probably not even be able to be built as a tremendous amount of power. Only reason is because of the EPA stuff. Probably the crawler snail would not be alive today. Well, anyway, so all this stuff was going on back in the Carter administration, and the Carter administration, it was a slow burn compared to the rapid on fire country that we have right now. We had the tree huggers, we used to call them, and all the other people that were out there, the ecologists, the armchair crazy people that thought they were saving the planet. Those people that were out there talking and protesting back when protests were actually, that's what they did. They actually had signs and they would hold them and they would march. And they would do this kind of stuff and they were, granted, they, that's their right to do that. That's fine. And there were some, Greenpeace started up and all that kind of stuff. We started getting some weird stuff that started happening then. It didn't used to be in vogue, by the way. Now it's in vogue. It's popular. So we had all this stuff going on. But it was just on a much smaller scale. They were outliers. They were very, very few and far between. It wasn't a big mass country momentum type thing behind it. Not that there is necessarily now either, but it's just, it appears that way because of the media, the way the media makes it look. So we ended up with meat shortages, milk shortages, peanut shortages, sugar shortages, coffee shortages, mostly staples. However, there was also issues Of course, there was the energy crisis. That was the big one that affected everybody. And then there was paint issues because of pigment in paint. There was something, all kinds of weird things that were, you know, becoming short. We don't have enough of this. We don't have enough of that. Now, keep in mind that over this last year, the sales of RVs went through the roof. Boats and RVs, especially used boats and RVs, and brand new ones, sold like crazy. They've taken orders on RVs out through the end of next year. I live in RV industry land here in northern Indiana. Probably 85 to 90% of the RVs that are built in the country, in the world probably, are built here in this area. There are areas they're buying land just to park these RVs. Now, of course, they have to wait for some parts now because there's shortages on some things. So they'll build these things, park them out there, then they'll bring them back in, redo, you know, whenever parts come in, they redo stuff. Doing the same thing with cars, by the way. And so as they're building these things, they're delivering them as quickly as they possibly can. I used to deliver motorhomes. Hop in a motorhome, drive it out to California, and then fly back. Or I'd tow my little car behind me, I'd drive back. And there's more demand right now than ever to get these things delivered. And they can't keep the orders going fast enough, which is just amazes me. Now, what's going to happen with $5 a gallon gas, which we're rapidly heading for, by the way? And the government's not going to stop that. It is because of the policies that they've instituted, and then they make these little stopgap messages or attempts to slow down the price of fuel. And of course, they get the Biden administration goes and, I'm going to get the FTC involved. I think the energy companies are gouging. They're gouging us. It's their fault. I told them to stop production. Now they're raising the prices. It's the world price, the world market price per barrel has gone up. It has nothing to do with Exxon. What's her name? The lady who's in charge, our energy secretary, who laughs in the face of anybody who asks her what's the government's plan. She just laughs and says, "Well, I don't have any control over OPEC." We had control over OPEC. OPEC was a non sequitur. They were a non-issue because we had plenty of energy. We were a net exporter of energy. They're going to raise the price of natural gas. Now think about this. Natural gas comes out of the ground. It is piped through stations. There is no extra cost in getting it to your home from one year to the next. And yet the price is going up. The price to heat your home this year is expected to be, on the average, everybody's expected to have to pay about $100 more this year to heat their homes than they did last year. That may not seem like much, but when you got 100 million homes, that's a lot. Now, why? Why is it going to cost me $100 more to get the same amount of gas that I got last year that comes out of the ground? They didn't have to drill for it. They're not expanding the number. The demand has not risen from last year. It just comes out of a pipe. Is it the cost of what? What's the cost? Why is there such a cost increase in that? I can see things going up a little bit at a time because you're paying people to service things and costs are going up a little bit, but that's the minutia of the cost of getting that gas to your home. There's other things going on. There are other things afoot. There are strange things afoot. I think that what we have now is within the first, 9 months of a presidency, we are seeing, actually 10 months now, I guess, we are seeing a tremendous amount of, I just call it craziness. I mean, we're already seeing, they're blaming the whole thing on COVID. Well, it's COVID. Well, it was President Trump. Okay, now, if you remember back to the rhetoric we heard during the campaign, we heard that that the Biden administration, the Biden himself, was saying how, well, we're gonna crush COVID. Now he had the whole thing. He had this little thing in his pocket called a vaccine. He thought like everybody else thought that this vaccine was going to be the answer, and all of a sudden we were going to see vaccinated individuals out there, and we're going to crush COVID because COVID was going to go away because they had the vaccine. And everybody, I think everybody is still living under this delusion that this vaccine is somehow stopping the spread of COVID. That is not what we're seeing here, folks. It's as if there is no vaccine at all. The only thing that this is doing, and we need to have a real grip on this. Don't get me wrong. It's not that the vaccine doesn't do anything. The vaccine is keeping people out of the hospital and is apparently reducing the symptoms. Great. That's not what we had expected. That's not what we counted on with this thing. And in fact, the rate of spread and cases do not seem to be going down at all. And here's let's be real about this. The reason is because, and this has been now in some control groups now, this information is finally coming out, but they are not letting anybody get to it. And the reason, what I'm saying is the people, is big tech. Big tech and the powers that be are conspiring against us in getting information. And here's the information that they're withholding. The spread of the virus is just as bad among the vaccinated as it is among the unvaccinated. In terms of the cases that are out there, the studies that have come out recently, and this is, I know Japan had one of the best studies apparently recently about vaccinated individuals and cases, because they're testing a huge number of a percentage of their population, regardless of whether they've been vaccinated or not. And so they have these control groups over there where they have studies of, okay, we have 100,000 people that have been vaccinated. We have 100,000 people that have not been vaccinated. They're testing everybody, and they're looking at they're just continuing to test on a regular, like on a weekly basis, this group of 100,000 people that have been vaccinated. There are still people who have no symptoms who are carrying the virus at the same rate as we had prior to the vaccine. It's just that it's not noticeable. So this idea that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated is actually the opposite. The pandemic is spreading through the vaccinated, who really should be getting tested. Now, of course, the thing is, well, we just need to vaccinate everybody. If we have 100% vaccination, then, well, if we have 100% vaccination, you're still going to have the spread of the virus. Now, let's talk about this whatever the thing is, the new variant that is, of course, now they're going to be blaming Bill Biden. Now, let's just back up just a second again. Speaking of the Biden administration trying to crush the virus. Under his administration now, we have over 350,000 deaths. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe I guess it was closer to a month ago now, the beginning of this month of November, the number of people who died under Biden's administration surpassed the number of people who died under the Trump administration. Theoretically and supposedly, the virus was here longer under the Trump administration than it has been under the Biden administration. And yet they continue to blame Trump. Even though we were told that Biden was going to crush it, that Trump did nothing, that all these hundreds of thousands of people died, and that wouldn't have to have died if Trump would have done his job. Now we have a variant. We're not being told a whole lot about this variant, and this is alarming to me. because they're not saying much about it, because I think that there's an issue here. I'm going to try to find I don't think it's here on this front page. I'm going to see if I can find it somewhere else. There's a thing about this new variant. Yeah, it doesn't show up on any of the headlines within the little thing I'm looking at right now. Newest COVID variant symptoms are mild, but politicians panic anyway. There are some estimates, and the reason they're not talking about this is because they don't really know, but at the same time, they know a lot more than they're telling us. So here's a question for you. I'm going to throw this out there and see if any of this makes any sense or not. We were just told about this new variant in the past 7 days. It is a variant that apparently is scary, and it's spreading like crazy in South Africa. Of course, then they went and banned travel in South Africa from South Africa. Oh, but it's not banned yet. It's we're going to wait until Wednesday, I think, before it's all banned, tomorrow or Wednesday, because it's an emergency. You know, well, it is all the way from the east coast of South Africa to the west coast of South Africa. Well, now we're finding out that it's all over Africa. And we're finding cases in Europe. And we're pretty sure there's probably, if there's cases in Europe, there's cases here. So let's face it, it's already out there. Now, there are some claims that it is much more transmissible even than the Delta variant. Well, what does that mean? I'm more concerned about survivability. The common cold will kill some people. There are people who get the common cold and it will kill them. And we don't shut down the economy. We don't all wear masks to protect 5 people in the country. I mean, there's more than that, but that's the ridiculousness of this is unbelievable. There's a certain amount of disease and sickness that we have to accept in our lives to go about living normal lives. If we continue to allow this hysteria to manipulate us and to keep us from hugging each other, from showing each other our facial expressions, from being able to smile at each other, to shake hands. It's just insanity. I'm at the point where what's the use of life at all if we're going to live like this? This isn't living in any stretch of the imagination. I walk through an airport with a mask on. I'm the kind of guy I keep my head up. I look at people around me. Now, there are people who deliberately will not look at you. You'll be the only 2 people walking down a hallway. They're walking towards you. And they'll act like you're not even there. They're looking somewhere else. Looking straight down, looking ahead. Pretend like you don't even exist. I'm just the kind of person who wants to lock eyes with that person and nod and say, hi, how you doing? How's it going? Whatever. Just, you know, a common, you know, human connection thing there going on. Hey, you're a human, I'm a human. Hey, let's say hi to each other. We're here for each other. Some people aren't like that. I get it. Whatever. They got issues. Whatever. We all have issues. I'm not blaming them for their issues. Basically, people have a lot of baggage. That's what this amounts to. People have a lot of bags, and their bags are full of issues. That's pretty much what it is. So we have this stuff going on, and so all of a sudden we know, within 7 days, we know that all of Africa basically has this variant. Oh, there's cases in Europe. We didn't even know about this variant until a week ago. Now, they're saying that the vaccine... They're the real concern here, and this actually came from kind of a leaked information from somebody within the Pfizer group. They're basically saying that the vaccine has no effect on this thing whatsoever. So they have to tweak the vaccine. Now, they didn't tweak the vaccine for the Delta variant. But now they're talking about tweaking the vaccine for the O variant. Omicromini. But it's going to take 2 months. Well, I just can't wait till they get that done. Because, you know, if it has the same efficacy as the last one, then, you know, we're just going to shut this thing right down, aren't we? Not. Now, you see, they have to keep this rolling. I guarantee you, this their goal is to keep this rolling so that they can have an effect on the 2022 election. Can maintain control. Now, there was recently a little documentary of this individual was being interviewed and doing a very good job, I think, of explaining putting together basically the logical steps of this whole thing. Now, if you understand biblical prophecy and you understand that there's coming a time when there's going to be this mark of the beast, so to speak, and you're not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark. Those who accept the mark are not going to be in such good shape come Judgment Day. The spirit of this whole thing is obviously upon us. We are seeing a worldwide push to have people comply, or you will not be allowed to go to the marketplace. You will not be able to participate in society. You'll be outcast. That's the same attitude of this whole thing of the mark of the beast. Now, I'm not saying the vaccine is the mark of the beast. I'm saying that they're going to usher the mark of the beast in on the back of this vaccine through the process of possibly. Now, this is all conjecture and theory because, after all, once again, I'll give you this disclaimer. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just a guy with a microphone. I'm not a geologist. Not a specialist of any kind. I have no degrees in anything, as far as you know. I'm just a guy talking out of his mouth, out of his pie hole, with all of his opinions and theories. Don't make any decisions based on what anything I say. I'm a little bit of a theologian, but that's not even that. Just a guy with a microphone. Take it or leave it. There you go. Now, the logical steps of this thing are that they come up with this vaccine passport, which is exactly what they're talking about right now. The vaccine passport will have nothing to do with the vaccine. It's just a method of control. The vaccine passport will be utilized through your little hand device, your phone, which everybody's carrying around now. And at some point, you'll be able to, because of all the, you know, migration of individuals across, and this is part of Soros's plan. He doesn't want any countries to have borders. Soros wants to have a one-world government with no borders. The only way you get away with that, the only thing that makes that possible, is by putting a chip in every single human being, being able to keep control of them, scan them, know where they're at all the time. And it's not so much that they want to track individuals, that they want to track the herd. Where's the herd going now? And they can thin out the herd with the individuals later. They can pick those people out because they have their little individual thing. When they're the ones that won't comply, the ones that are outside the system, they can pick those off easily. This idea of groupthink and herd mentality or group identity politics, they can easily pit one group against another and they can do their own bit. That way they're not going, the rulers, the people who are the elites, don't have to fight us. They just get us to fight each other. And they can control us that way. So this variant now has come along, And we're not being told much about it. Now, the issue is most of the people that are trying to put out reports on this thing are saying, yes, it's transmissible. However, they can't tell us if it's any more deadly. In fact, it could be less deadly. Most of the virologists that have spoken about COVID in itself say the natural tendency is for a virus like this to, over time, mutate to a point, to a standard where it is very powerful. Those who are susceptible to it will die off, and then the mutations themselves usually become weaker and weaker to the point where they have no effect anymore. It becomes something like the common cold. So, and it is part of the rhinovirus, the COVID virus thing is all part of the same group, which is all part of the cold virus. So we have all this going on, the goings on right now happening right now. On top of that, now we're just now getting some information. Now the vaccinated are at a significantly higher risk of heart problems, according to the latest data. Now, I'm going to open this up and see what is who did this. This is a Steve Kirsch is who did this article. The researchers who confirmed the results from the curriculum paper, circulation paper, won't publish their results because they are worried about losing their research funding in the future. So don't tell anyone. Okay? The findings of a paper published recently in Circulation, I think that's the name of the magazine, have been confirmed both in VAERS, it's all one word, it's all capitalized, it's VAERS, it's a synonym, and by other researchers. There isn't any other explanation that fits the fact pattern other than the vaccines are causing this rise. We should expect the medical community to ignore this since medicine isn't science-driven anymore. It is narrative-driven. It doesn't matter how deadly the vaccines are, they will not be stopped. Here's this is the quote here. They aren't going to publish their findings. They are concerned about losing research money, end quote. Dr. Asim, I'm going to tear up his name, Malhotra, reveals a cardiology researcher found similar results to a new report showing an increase in risk of heart attack following the mRNA COVID vaccine. Now, this is over. This is a European reporting. You're not going to hear this in the States. If you listen to the video, the patients who have gotten younger and younger. Isn't that interesting? Coincidentally, the vaccines have been rolled out to younger and younger patients. I wonder if they might be related. I'm reading from the article here. And it goes on to say, and I would bet that nearly every young person with cardiac issues was vaccinated. This basically confirms the paper in Circulation that I wrote about just 2 days ago, which determined that the vaccines were causing the elevated risk. This has been an issue for a while. There have been a lot of children, a lot of athletes, a lot of people in a lot of public situations that have been, that have had unusual, like perfectly healthy individuals have had cardiac events. Some of them dropped dead. There have been a lot of football players, and by football I mean soccer players over in Europe recently. Middle of a game, just collapse. Heart issues. Now, the problem is it seems to be among younger individuals that are having these issues. It's causing more issues among younger individuals than older individuals. Of course, now when an older person has a heart attack, you don't think anything of it. Well, they're old, they had a heart attack. They have heart issues. There's been some other issues as well with the vaccine. And it's one of those things where I have a job. My little side job that I have is very, very dependent on my cardiac health. If I have any anomalies, I'm done. It would take me longer to get I have to pass a certain kind of physical. And to go through all the paperwork and all the treadmill tests and everything else that I would have to go through to show that I'm fit to pass that test would take longer. It's literally years to get that medical back. And in the process of doing all of that, it wouldn't be worth it because I would have to retire before that was over. There's a mandatory retirement age. So I'm not going to do that. That's another reason why I'm going to wait it out. Now, they are finding, and this is not even in this particular article or in any of the articles I see on this particular list. I did read this somewhere else from a good trusted source, I would say a trusted source. That they actually had people who have recovered from COVID have an extremely high tolerance or resistance to this Omicron thing variant. So yes. There is some evidence to that effect as well. So there you have it. So, I've talked enough this morning. Now, the good news is I will be able to have a show this evening. I don't see any reason why I can't have a show this evening. I was not actually expecting to be home today. I thought I was going to end up being in Portland this morning. Actually, last night, yesterday afternoon, that did not happen. I didn't have to go to Portland, so I'm home. I'm actually in my home studio right now. Later today, I'm going to be putting another show out. It'll be possibly a live show this afternoon, and it will be from the worldwide headquarters of the News According to Me. So, for those of you who would like to tune in this afternoon, planning on doing that probably around 4 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time. That's the plan. No guarantees. But that's the goal. So if you'd like to tune in then, that'd be great. Once again, thanks for sharing. Thanks for liking. Have a great day. God bless everybody. Take care.